Mormon Stories Podcast is a production of the Open Stories Foundation. All donations to Mormon Stories are fully tax deductible and go directly towards keeping the podcast alive and towards building a community of support for Mormons like you. To support the podcast or to join the community, please become a monthly subscriber today at mormonstories.org.
So how does one get called as a member of the Quorum of the 70? How does that happen?
I can only relate to my own calling. I don't know what the other one was.
Okay.
I had a phone call from one general authority who served in Europe.
Okay.
And he asked if I can meet him together with my wife at the airport in Stockholm. And I said, yes, how can I prepare for the meeting? And I said, just come over. So we went up there. I think it was El Conde. And we met there, and we were sitting in the little room there and talking. I said, I have a letter from the First Presidency.
Mm.
And, of course, before that, they asked how I was. Was I still living the gospel, and am I healthy enough, and so on. And then I opened up the letter and read it, that I was called and to serve as a 70 in the third quorum. And at that time, there was the northern area, that means the Nordic countries and the British Isles. But just after I was called, they changed it to the central Europe. And that was Frankfurt in Germany, was the headquarter like for the church.
So what was the area called again? Central Europe.
Central Europe.
Which included which countries?
It includes Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Poland, Germany, Austria, Albania, Romania, Hungary, and those Croatia,
and Czech Republic.
Okay. and Slovakia.
Okay, Slovenia, something like
that. Slovenian, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, and were you the head of that central area, or?
No.
Okay, who was the head?
The head, when I was called, was another general authority from the second quorum. His name was Elder Tobler.
Okay, so he would have been the president of the area?
You can call him an area president, yeah.
Okay, and then you would have been what?
I would have been, if you compare, maybe just the 70 working with him for the 12.
Would you have been a counselor in his presidency?
No.
Okay.
Well, we were always on counseling meeting, but he had two counselors, as they used to have in the church, you know.
Okay.
They had Marlin Jensen and Brother Hafen.
And they were also in the second quorum?
Yes.
At the time?
First or second.
First or second.
Yeah.
Okay.
So members full-time. They were full-time authorities. 70s.
Okay. So they send from Salt Lake, generally, people from the U.S. to be area president or first and second counselor.
You're right.
And then they call local people to be
in the area to be 70s there.
But you didn't just work as a liaison between them and Sweden. You worked with them throughout the
whole area.
Okay.
Like all the countries I've been visit there. I had a assignment for. And you know, the area, you have the established church like in the Scandinavian countries and Germany, and then you have the eastern part. They were really brand new church.
Kind of the Soviet era, Eastern Europe countries.
They didn't know anything about the church. I mean, we have to train to be a branch president, how to handle tithing, how to handle leadership, what the priesthood is, and everything
very,
really, you know. It's so different when you had an assignment to go there, or you have an assignment to go to the established church.
Okay. Those are very, very different experiences.
Oh, yes.
And did you visit both?
Yes, sure.
Okay. I know that we often think about apostles as being special witnesses of Christ. As a 70, did you feel any expectation on yourself to get a special witness? Did you feel like your testimony was strong enough to be a 70? Did you want some additional witness, or was that even something you thought about?
Well, that's a good question, John. But first meeting I was to be trained as a Samadhi. You be trained every year in the Salt Lake City before the General Conference.
Oh, so you'd go to General Conference?
Yes.
Every 6 months?
No, once a year.
Okay, once a year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I was sitting there, 300 general authority or Samadhis.
Okay.
And I was looking around and I said, how come I'm here?
You didn't feel worthy.
No, you feel so small. You have struggles with the language and you wonder, there is Mr. Marriott and there is those, you know, a lot of people that are famous.
Right.
But I had a voice inside myself saying, I called you because you are the one you are. I don't want you to be someone else. Mm. And I think, well, that's right. It's not my problem. I learned that from my mission, you know, learning my discussions.
Right, yeah.
So I blame the Lord. That's your problem. I'm just here. Let's go.
So you didn't feel too much pressure?
Nope.
Okay. Birgitta, did you travel with Hans to Salt Lake City for these trainings?
I went with him the first time we went.
Okay.
Yes.
What was that like for you?
It was really special. It was the first time for me visiting Salt Lake also.
Okay.
Yes. And also meet all these high leaders in the church and be able to be in some meetings. We also received some
instructions
as wives.
What kind of instructions did they give you?
I really don't remember.
Okay, that's
no.
Fine.
So, one I remember. If we were called to go to a country, let's say in the east side, you shouldn't wear too fancy clothes with a lot of fancy jewelries and things like that. It would make them feel sad.
Oh,
and poor.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm, that's very nice.
So they're trying to be sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you feel pressure? Did you feel excited?
I felt excited.
Okay.
Yes.
Did they tell you you had any certain responsibilities at all?
As I remember it, our first responsibility was if we had kids.
Okay.
That we really should take care of our kids.
They wanted to make sure you didn't neglect your children.
Yes.
That's nice.
Mm, that's also very nice.
Yeah.
And also when we had the opportunity, if we could go with our husbands and traveled, it was a good thing to do also. But especially if you have small kids, your first responsibility was the kids.
And how old was your youngest child when Hans was called as an area authority? In the year 2000.
She was about her going into her 20s.
Okay.
They still lived home.
Was 17, wasn't she?
Wasn't she? Was she?
So she was a teenager.
Teenager,
around teenager.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. All right.
And also our three boys, they have all been on their missions.
Okay.
Yes.
Your sons all served missions.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Did they pay for your travel if you traveled with him? Would they pay? Do you know?
The first time.
The first time to
the
Salt Lake.
The first time to Salt Lake when Elder Holland set me apart as a 70.
Okay, so you didn't tell us that. So you come to Salt Lake.
Yeah, come to Salt Lake. We are not allowed to say anybody about we should have the calling.
Oh.
So we have to be really quiet.
Okay.
For my own family and wherever. And so Birgitta and I think both the girls, we went to the office of Elder Holland and he gave us the blessing and set me apart as a 70.
Do you get the sense that the 12 just, or the 15 just divide up the ordinations of the 70 and they all just take a few?
Yeah. I think what they do is that the 12 apostles, they have responsible for different areas of the world.
Okay, okay.
So I think Holland was the one the area president have to report to.
Okay, Elder Holland. Okay.
Yeah. Later was Elder Nelson.
Elder Russell M. Nelson.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that time was Elder Holland.
Okay, got it. Mm. Were you with other area authorities or was it just
nope.
you?
Yes, we have a special time to meet him in his office. And I guess everybody have their own timing.
Are there any reflections you want to share about your interaction with Elder Holland? Is there anything worth talking about? We don't have to. If there's something
I can only say that to be with his brethren, you feel quite, they are loving people. They're nice people. They give you a lot of love. And they make you feel good. And maybe sometimes they make you look good. I don't know how to explain that. But In the eyes of someone else, you look good. And I just say, feel like kind of a mantle.
You felt the mantle?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also when you get released, you feel like you take the mantle off.
Wow.
It's really realistic to feel that way.
Oh.
But I wonder if there is, only because you're meeting all these, you know, prophets and seers and revelators or apostles. But you asked before about the special witness.
Yes.
And I never did hear anybody say that I have seen Jesus Christ.
You never heard an apostle say that?
No. Okay. But they explain that the spiritual witness is as much valid as to see Christ.
They would say that explicitly.
Yeah.
That it's as valid to have a spiritual witness as it is to actually...
Yes.
Okay.
And
why do you think they felt like they needed to say that?
Because I think many members think that they are visited of Jesus the Christ.
Okay.
And, I think at least for me, I understood that they wanted to understand that don't expect that.
Okay.
Don't expect that Christ will come and teach you.
Okay.
You can feel the Spirit, and then we teach you.
Okay. So they tried to take that pressure off of you, and you never heard them say that they received
never.
Physical. Okay.
No.
That doesn't mean they didn't. It just means they didn't talk about
no.
it.
No.
Okay. We already talked about it. You didn't receive financial compensation
no.
for those 5 years you served. So you were running a business, taking care of your family, and serving in this calling.
You can say like this. I was paying to have the calling because I paid the tithing.
You were paying to serve.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you have to understand me right when I say that I didn't get the money. I gave the money.
Okay. And so how would you, what were your main responsibilities, and how in a given week or given month, how would you know what to do as a 70?
Every time we will have a state conference or an other conference, we will have an calling by mail that says that you are hereby called to preside over the state conference in some of the countries that were under the area.
Any idea how many stakes were in this area approximately? Was it 10? Was it 100? Was it 1,000?
More, I think it was around 100.
Okay, about 100 stakes.
Yeah.
How many total general and area authorities do you think? Was it 30? Was it 10? Was it
in the area? I think we were 1, 2, 3, 4. Four of us, yeah.
Four area authorities?
Four area authorities.
So there's the three in the presidency plus four others.
Yes.
So there's 770
that
are covering about 100 stakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, every month you will sit on a meeting to counsel with them. You fly down to Frankfurt. You sit there on a meeting. We report what's happening. And they teach us, and we go back home again. And the weekends, you go to conferences, state conference, district conferences. And, of course, every time the youth have their conferences, like the summer conference for young adults and so on, you're always called to go there as well to teach and be there. And then you have these callings to correlate between the mission president, the stake president, and the temple president, if there is a temple in the area. So we sit there every month. Sorry, I didn't really remember.
That's okay.
But we sit there and correlate and train.
All the temple presidents, all the mission?
No, No, sorry. If I will meet in from the Scandinavian area,
okay,
part of the area really, there would be the temple president for Stockholm,
okay,
the mission president for Sweden, and the three stake presidents.
Okay, got
and
it.
We will coordinate what happened in that country.
Okay.
When I went to Berlin.
Belgium.
Germany.
Okay, Germany. Berlin.
Berlin.
I don't mean to correct you. I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah. Berlin, Germany. Is in Swedish, okay. And okay. Berlin is in American.
Okay.
You will have the temple president from Frankfurt, the mission presidents.
Got it.
And the state presidents, and you correlate.
Okay. And you would be in those meetings.
Yeah. You handle all the meetings.
So when the Area 70 would meet to review how things are going in the area or in various stakes or missions, what types of things would they think about or talk about? Was it like numbers? Was it finances? Was it baptisms? Was it attendance? What were the things that they reviewed to check on the health of the church, if you remember?
Yeah, I do remember some of it. What we were really talking a lot about was about the youth. How do we keep the youth in the church? And there was a lot of statistics. I guess the computer's working hard, you know, to give some where they are and why they are not and so on. So we talked a lot about that. What can we do to help? And they're so different in different countries. Like in the Swedish country, there's very high attendance of the youth. Maybe up to 60-70% of the youth are active. Some other countries maybe are very low. And we tried to find out what they are doing there and how can we do the same thing in some other countries.
So there was a heavy emphasis on the youth in these area meetings. But did they like 1,000 baptisms this month, or this year we only had 4,000 baptisms, or, you know, temple attendance is down by 12%. Like, would they regularly review with you baptism numbers, temple attendance, ward attendance?
They do.
And financial stuff?
Never.
Okay. So you didn't know how much money was being brought
in. It's between you and the Lord.
Between who and the Lord?
You. You who's paying.
Oh, okay. The money you pay is between you and the Lord.
Yep.
What happens after that?
You never know. You have to have faith.
And you don't know as a 70 what's happening with the money?
No.
Okay. Okay. So
more than that, we should be careful with the money. Don't travel if you don't need to travel. We should not build more chapels, because there is other parts of the world that don't have chapels. So we have to build a little bit low to build new ones. So
you felt like they were careful with money?
Very careful with money. And I can tell you, I hope this is the right thing to say, but like the church need the money, of course, because you can't run the church without money. So even the first presidency are also looking at this. Because we were told that now we need to have more missionaries among the rich countries. Because when they got baptized there, we got more tithing.
Right.
So we can't have them. I mean, it sounds maybe a little bit scary to hear things like that. But if you think about it, it's a very good way to at least protect the church. If you put all the missionaries in countries that the church need to put in money, they need welfare, they need chapels, they need temples, they need missionary. You pay for everything, and right, they don't bring anything back to you.
Right.
The church will be ruined if you only do that.
Right.
So you have to have income. And of course, in the United States, some part of Europe, you are giving money to the church instead of taking money to the country.
So there's some countries that give more than they receive, and there's countries that receive more than they give.
And they try to balance that where you put the missionaries and where would you have the members.
Right.
So sometimes they say, we have to put missionaries to the United States. because they are more more money there, and we need more tithing and lesser. At least this is what happened 10 years ago.
Right.
I don't know now.
Right. Okay.
That's, I mean, you talk about money, that kind of discussion you can have.
Okay.
But also, you know, we sometimes have to divide a stake. And to do that, you really need to be, like I was there, and to present how we should be doing that. So I need to talk to the bishop, the stake president, make presentations, how many priest holders, how many go to the temple, and how many youth are there, and so on. And then we present the idea to the president of the area. I usually do it in a PowerPoint presentation, and when they feel good about it, they have questions, and then they go to the apostle that are responsible for it, and he put it to the church building office that tried to see if we can have enough of space for chapels and people to be, or what will the
boundaries
be, and so on.
Okay.
It's like you work in a business. No, you have to use your mind, brain, and then... but you do it as a 70 to prepare for them to make the decisions.
Did you get the sense that... to prepare for the apostles to make the decisions?
Yes.
Did you help call stake presidents?
Oh, that's one of the best things you can do as a 70.
Why is that?
Because it's you come there, you know, and you know there is someone here that could be will be the new stake president, and you don't know who it is. And in that in mind, you say, okay, let's talk to them. So you talk to all the priesthood leaders they have, like the bishops, the high councilmen, the stake presidency, and the patriarch. And of course, you ask them what they think. What will the stake need? What kind of leadership will the stake need now, and so on? And usually, you take a day for that, and you feel good about someone. You narrow it down to maybe 3-4 persons you feel good about, and your companion, and you are discussing why and what you feel that the stake needs.
You have a companion?
You always 2 70s there.
Oh, 2 70s always go together. Oh, travel in twos, just
when you do, especially when you do a calling of a stake president.
Is there a senior and a junior companion?
Yes.
Really? I was just kidding. Yeah. There really is?
Yes.
Okay. Were you ever senior companion, or were you always junior?
I was always a junior.
Okay. Because you weren't in the first or second quorum, is that right?
You're right.
Okay. Mm. And did you make the decision, or...
No, the Lord did. We just tried to... John, okay. Remember, this church is run by the Lord.
No.
We made the decision together. We prayed about it. And then I did not call that person. He's usually the senior companion.
Okay. But you would agree. Together you would agree on the final candidate.
We were 100%...
In agreement?
In agreement, yes.
Did you ever disagree?
No.
Do you today feel like the Lord inspired you to know who the right people were?
I feel I was very inspired, and I hope it really was the Lord.
You hope it was?
Yeah, I think it was.
And you never had a disagreement where you really wanted this other guy?
No,
but
not at all.
You were always able to sort of feel together?
We had such a wonderful experiences.
You loved that?
Yeah.
Did you ever make a mistake?
Not what I know about, but probably.
Okay. You don't know of any mistake.
No, but I can tell you that the church is really... I mean, when you meet in the Salt Lake City, they taught us sometimes that we should be very careful when we call a stake president. I never did know why, but it looks, sounds like that... Some of the 70s called someone that the 12 was not pleased with. So they said that we would be more careful when we call someone to have the right abilities. Or.
But an apostle didn't make that decision. You guys made that decision together with the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if the apostles, are also doing it, of course.
Right.
I was with one twice to call a stake president.
So sometimes you worked with an apostle.
Yes.
To call a stake president.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool.
It is.
Okay. Well, we'll get to apostles in a second. Okay.
We also, can I tell? We also do mission tours.
Okay. Oh, what was that like?
It's so great. But it's also tough. Because you have to take your time off for your job. And you be there on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to teach the missionary. It depends what country it is. How many missionaries they are, but you have to teach them, you know. And every evening you will have a fireside for the members. Or you will visit some political high guy, you know, to make a good impression at the church. He's here and we appreciate you and we try to do the best to help you. And it's really, really, I mean, these long days.
Yeah. And you're taking off work. The other members of the first and second quorum, they're getting paid. They get to do this full time.
Yeah.
They have P days.
Yes.
And you guys are doing this while you have families, while you have jobs, and you're getting paid.
John, it's always easy to plan your vacations because you don't have any. More or less. Sometimes, of course, you do.
Wow, that's sad.
You have to take your day off when you're traveling.
And you take a lot of time off work then.
Sure.
Do you think there are area authorities who are 70 who experience financial strain because of their service, where it put them in a bad position financially, or did they usually call people who are successful businessmen and women, businessmen who?
I don't think even I can answer that question.
Yeah, you don't know.
But I made it. I did. I don't know anyone that needed to go to the bishop and ask for welfare. But
do you feel like the Lord blessed your business? Did you feel at the time that the Lord blessed your business and took care of things for you, or?
No.
What'd you feel?
When you told me this, one of the general authorities that I work with says, Brother Mats, isn't it fantastic when you're away, you know, you don't have time to make your business running the right way. But still, when you come home, the Lord will open up new ways that you could still be successful. And I never did really experience that. I think it was my business was suffering because I was not there.
Oh.
And I felt a lot of pressure in this situation, yeah.
But overall, were you enjoying it?
I enjoyed the calling.
You did?
I always come home a better man.
Better man?
Yes. Sunday night at 11 o'clock when the airplane go down in Stockholm and I took the train back home, I felt better.
Happy. Did the members, the missionaries, did they treat you like a general authority?
Yes.
What was that like to be treated like a general authority?
Wonderful.
Why? No, seriously, what's it like?
Well, if I say like this, that when you come as a 70 to a conference or a place, there is always the stake president's responsibility to take care of you.
Right.
Or sometimes the mission president. So they meet you at the airport, they take care of you, take you to the where you shall stay or the hotel when we have money enough for the hotel, or we stay with the family. And then they take you to church. He's always with your side. So you feel always not alone. You don't feel like this, all the members are running after you or try to ask you difficult questions or good questions. But so you're taken care of. And also it's so funny that when you talk to people on a conference, and you may talk about the subject the bishops have been trying to teach the members long time, but they never get it. Afterwards, the members come up and say, what a wonderful talk. This is exactly what I need to hear. You changed my life. And then I talk to the bishop in the area. He says, it's so funny, Elder Mattson, you know. and try to teach the same principle all over. But when I teach it, they don't follow. But when you were here, or a general authority, to say, "Oh, I never heard this before. This is wonderful." I can't explain why that is, but it happened many times.
Well, maybe people and maybe members of the church really respect authority.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, and I hope so.
Was it hard to write those talks and give those talks?
I never write the talk, though. But
you would just speak?
Yeah.
You would just speak extemporaneously?
Yeah, what I try to do is meditate a lot and read about the stake. I read, look for the figures. You know, you learn to look at figures and find out what the good sides are or the bad sides. Then you talk to the stake president, his issues, what is the most, what is his real top issue for the stake, and why is it? And then when you get that, you go back. I used to meditate, because I think I was sleeping, but I was not. I mean, twilight zone, I guess. And I think like this: what would Jesus the Christ do if he would visit this area, this stake? What would he like to tell them? What would he do for the people, and so on? And with this in your mind, and you think about things, you, at least I did, I get a lot of impressions and thoughts. I just wrote them down like a note, short note. Talk about this, this, and this. And then I just went up and asked the Lord to bless me too. And usually it works well.
Did you feel led by the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you feel like the other 70 and apostles that you worked with tried to be led by the Spirit and by the Lord?
I think so. But I tell you this. Once I told the general authority, I said like this: do you know why they move you every third year to another place? I said, no, because you had the same talk to all the people in different areas. Now you need to go somewhere else to talk to them.
Now, this is the general authorities.
Yes.
They move them every 3 years.
Yes.
So they don't bore the members with the same talks.
Yeah. And right. He looked at me and said, yeah, probably right. But still, you can have the same talk, but you can also make differences in the talk.
Right.
The subject, really.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that all general authority, all the apostles are not happy to speak. I mean, they have a tough time to speak.
Some of them don't like to speak.
No.
All of them or just some
no,
of them?
No, I said some of
okay,
them.
Okay.
And one of them told me, Elamasa, take as long time as you want, because I hate to speak.
Oh, they don't like to speak sometimes. No. Some of them didn't like to talk. Okay, that's a good story. Did the members treat you like you knew things they didn't? Like, would they ask you doctrinal or spiritual questions as if you had special answers?
Yes.
And did you act like you had special answers, or how did you?
No.
Did you think you had special answers?
No. I mean, there was no difference being a bishop or being a state president about the knowledge. But when you were called, you feel like, boy, I really have to read the scriptures again. I have to memorize everything. I have to understand everything. You had a lot of pressure to try to at least read the handbook so you can answer the questions.
The policy questions. The
policy questions. But then you find out that you can take a note and said, I like your question. I will take it with me. If I can't answer, you will know. And I will also talk to my friends in the church among the 12 or other general authorities. And I think I can have the answer for you. But sometimes you really feel inspired to answer the question in the right way, because you've been a bishop for a long time, you've been in the stake for a long time, been in the mission presidency, you get a lot of, and also in a mission, you get a lot of experience that you can use.
Right.
To talk and give answers.
Okay.
But there is a lot of questions you can't answer Even a 12 can't answer it.
Did you love meeting with the members of the church across Europe?
Yeah.
How was that? How were the people?
I mean, just what I felt as a visitor, as an inhabitant to visit there, is so much. You feel a lot of charity and love when you look at the people there, you know. I mean, I know they're struggling with things. I know they can't live all the gospel principles, but they are there. They try to do the best. They love the children. They love their husband, and the husband love the wife. Sometimes they have problems, but I think this is what Jesus the Christ feel when he see people. I love them. I mean, the God is love. And that's what's so special, to have those feelings coming. It really was strong. It was a very special feeling. I mean, you just feel like, oh. And that's what I always felt, that the Lord want them to know that Jesus loves you. You are okay. You are okay the way you are. Try to be the best, but don't worry. Enjoy. Feel happy. The gospel is love. The gospel is happiness, and so on.
That's beautiful.
That's a very special feeling you feel for the people and the members.
So I could imagine, I mean, if it was your job to choose stake presidents, and then from amongst stake presidents, temple presidents, and mission presidents, other area, you know, other members of the 70 were called, I could see the sort of carnal side of man having those leaders want to be show-offs in front of you, wanting to put their best foot forward, maybe even to try and make one look better than the other. Did that kind of stuff show itself, where people were trying to get your attention so that they might someday be called as a 70, or did you just get no sense of that, or was it mixed?
I would say that it could happen, and it happened once or twice maybe, but mostly you don't find that. But there were some that, you know, to call a stake president. Some of them come with everything prepared. I said, you know, I'm the one. I felt that this night, and the Lord told me, so you don't have to worry about the rest, you know. And here is my plan. This is those I will have as a counselor. And when you get that, you feel a bit worried, you know.
So you're interviewing people to be stake president, yeah. And some come saying they've already got the job.
Yeah.
Here's who they want as counselors.
Yeah. Yep.
That wasn't good. But overall, I guess what I'm hearing you say is that stake presidents, mission presidents, temple presidents, you didn't get the sense that they were aspiring, trying to climb the ladder. Overall, your experience with them was that they were just good men trying to do what's right.
Yeah. There could be some signs that people had a calling, and they know someone else among the 12, and they don't want that person to be disappointed, so he tried to do his best just to please. I hope I used the right word.
Sure.
To please him.
Right.
Instead of just, this is who I am, and if I do the right thing, the Lord will be happy, and so on.
But that was rare. It sounds like what you're saying is,
yeah,
that overall,
yes,
these are good men who are,
yes,
sincere,
I agree,
trying to help, and just trying to do what's right.
Yeah.
And looking out for the best interests of the members.
Yeah. As long as you talk about the gospel and the church in the way they are being taught, and I've been taught, and you've been taught, there is no problem. They're really good people.
Okay.
But if you, yeah.
It's if you stray from that, where it can be hard. Yeah. Did you still home teach as a 70? Did you still home teach?
Yes.
What was that like, to go home to your ward? Did they, you know, Christ said a man is without honor in his own country. Did the members of Sweden treat you differently once you were called as an area authority, or were you just Hansed everybody?
The treatment they used to treat me. They didn't care if I was a 7 or not.
Now, is that just Europe? Is that just Sweden? Is that just Europe?
Well, I think at least that is Sweden.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you guess that a German area authority was probably treated in Germany like the same? I mean, in other words, area authorities aren't treated specially in their own country? I guess you may not know that
question. It's hard to explain, because even Europe are different.
Every country
is
different.
I mean, every country is different. Yeah. You know, I'm Swede, and we are trained to be more, we work together. The leader is a coach. He asks, what can we do? Like if you're sitting in an airplane, you have a problem with the engine or something, a Swede could go out to the rest of the passenger and ask, is anyone here know about how to run the plane, and a mechanic or so? We have a problem here. And they try to solve the problem that way, and everybody are important. And then the pilot goes in and try to fix it when he got this support. But sometime, if you go to Germany, this is my feeling, you can't go out and ask the people. You tell the people.
In Germany,
I am the pilot, you know, and you don't try to tell me anything. You follow what I'm saying.
There's more authority, respect. There's more expectation that authority leads with authority in Germany, whereas Sweden, it was more cooperation than equality.
And I felt even sometime some of the Americans are in the same way, that there are, if I am the boss, I'm the boss, you not. So they're always following the one above you.
Okay. Okay, so different countries were different that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Respect me because I am the one.
Right. But that's not Sweden.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I haven't found that work that way.
Okay. Okay. So you
in
were,
general.
So you were respected more outside of Sweden than maybe inside Sweden in terms of people who didn't know you.
Maybe a little. I can agree, but in another way, I feel respect in Sweden as well.
Because you...
That's not as a title, not like you are an authority.
Okay.
Because you're Hans Mattsson, I respect you for your integrity, and you do the best you can, and so on.
And the
thing is, nothing to do with the title.
Okay. So in Sweden, you felt respected as Hans, and as a fellow Swede member of the church.
Yeah.
Outside, it was more because of your title. Okay. Did they, this is just a random thing, but I've been told that apostles lately have been told not to keep journals. Did they give you advice about journals?
Yeah. Keeping,
what'd they say? If you want to share.
I don't want to put names.
No,
but,
no, I'm not asking
but,
you to share.
When we're trained, they tell us that... so many journals from the early times of the church put the church in a bad position, and the leaders tried to explain why they wrote the way they did, and there's no doctrine, but still is in the journals. So one of the highest leaders in the church said, I threw all my journals away, and I will never write a journal.
Mm.
And then you, I guess you will... follow him, or you said too bad, or whatever. But usually, you would like to follow him.
So you think most 70 probably didn't keep journals because of that kind of instruction, maybe.
If they follow that that high positioned leader, they wouldn't. But I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe they do anyway.
Okay, but you got the sense that journals were discouraged.
Yep.
Okay. I've heard that from an apostle as well.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Did you ever feel pride? Did you ever feel like, wow, I'm really important. I'm really special. Did you ever, do you feel like you may have ever gotten sort of caught up in?
No.
What?
I never did.
What?
It's not my personality.
But it's like worship. It's like.
Ask my wife.
All right, Brigida. What, you're shaking your head no too, so.
That's
really?
Not his personality. Really.
Okay.
He didn't long for this calling. He didn't. He just felt humbled and tried to do his best, and that's the way it is.
That sounds too good to be true.
It is.
It's true.
It's true.
Okay.
And it's good.
Okay, so you never thought you were special? No.
Well, what do you mean being special?
Better. Maybe better than others.
I mean, you feel special because you are there on an assignment, and of course you feel like you like to do the best and give them what the Lord wants them to have, and you feel special in that way. But I don't feel I'm better. I don't feel I'm living a better life. I don't feel like, look at me, I'm the guy, you know. And I can tell you, even President Hinckley told us when we were called, it will be easy for you to have a lot of people saying, oh, you're teaching us the best, you're so fantastic, and you will have letters, and your ego will really grow. And I said, be careful. We don't want you to have big egos in that way. Hmm. You just represent the church and the Lord.
Okay. That's great. Did you feel like other 70 felt the same way?
Yeah.
For the most part?
Yeah, most part.
Okay.
Of course, there's...
Always exceptions.
Yes.
Okay. But overall...
You want me to name them?
No. That's not what we're trying to do here. Okay. I don't think you want to either.
No, you're right.
Birgitta, real quick. We've talked about this a little bit, but so you didn't have any official capacity as a spouse of a 70, right? Or did you?
No, I did not. When I once or twice traveled with him, and then I was supposed to sit on the stand beside him and also give a talk.
Would you go to European countries with him?
Yes.
How often?
I went twice or three times only.
To Europe?
Yes.
In the Salt Lake one time?
One time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weren't you tempted to go to Salt Lake every time?
Then we had to pay for ourselves. And we couldn't afford it.
Okay. So how was that when you did travel with him? What was that like?
It was so good because I could see, we talked about this mantle, he could feel the mantle. And it was so important for me because I could see that too. When he gave speeches and talked to people, I really could see him. That's not my husband. Another guy. He is so good and so talent, and he really was excellent. So it's very special.
You felt like the Lord was helping him.
Yes.
You did?
Yes, I really did.
Okay.
Yes.
So did you see people treat him like he was, you know, a prophet or like God or like... Did you see people in Europe revere him like he was something really special, like, you know, famous? Did people treat him like he was famous? You know, did you get to see any of that?
Because of I wasn't with him so many times, I really can't say if they... Of course, if you are an authority in the church, you have the respect from people. That I could felt.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you ever feel like, you know, I live with this guy. He's not as special as you guys all think, or he's not as great as you're treating him. Or, I mean, did you ever feel like there was a difference between Hans as the husband and father and Hans as the church leader, and that maybe they weren't the same?
Of course. But at the same time, I didn't thought it was... negative, but I could see when he was home, he was Hans, and he was a father, he was my husband. But when he was out traveling, he had another assignment.
Right.
So
kind of this mantle, this idea of a mantle maybe a little bit?
Yes.
Did you ever, when you got in fights and he would misbehave, you're a 70, you're supposed to be better than this. Did you ever... say that type of thing to him?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Like, you're a hypocrite.
Did I?
No. You said a bad word, or you got mad at me, and you're not supposed to when you're a 70.
No.
No, because he was never misbehaving, or?
I don't think we came in situations like that.
You didn't fight?
No.
You guys don't, that's not how your marriage is. Is that what you're saying? You just don't fight?
We have had some rough times, of course. That's natural. But We don't spend our time together. A lot of fights, no, we don't.
Okay. So you got along well.
Yeah.
And you didn't see some big hypocrisy with him being...
No, not at all.
Oh. You felt like he was a consistent man.
Yes.
As at home.
Hans is so honest. You can't find more honest person, I think.
Than Hans?
Yes.
All right. Hans, do you agree? No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to answer that. Okay. Birgitta, did he ever come to you for advice? Like, I'm trying to decide who to call as a stake president, or this stake isn't doing so well, or the missionary count is down somewhere, or would he ever, or this 70 or this apostle was giving me a hard time, or anything like that. Did he ever come to you for advice? Did you play a role in his service?
Yes, he shared a lot of things with me. Yes, so I felt a part of his calling also in that way. I don't remember especially moments, but
sure.
I don't remember
oh, that's
that.
Fine.
But the feelings I have from this time is that he talked to me about things.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you almost feel like you were called as well, a little bit?
Yes, in a way. Yes.
That it was kind of a joint calling?
Yes.
It wasn't just him, it was you two together.
Yeah.
Maybe the whole family?
Yeah, kind of.
Do you think your children ever felt pressure that their dad was a 70 and people expected them to be different or looked at them?
Some of our kids felt that way, yes. And they can tell us now when we speak about this period of life that we didn't know it. When it appears then. But now they can speak about it, how they felt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you get a sense they missed their dad being gone a lot? Or was he gone a lot?
Yes, he was.
And were they resentful? Were they upset? Were they sad? Did they miss him?
They wasn't upset, but they missed him sometimes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fee.